I don't know if I've told you this story or not, but there's a woman named Sally Cook. Does that name sound familiar to you? She was a high-level executive at Pixar Films. She was making high six figures. She lived the life that some of us could only dream of. One day she went to a workshop presentation on human trafficking, and she heard the stats. Over 100,000 teens in the United States are being trafficked right at this moment. Over 100,000 teens are being exploited, trafficked in the United States at this moment. Well, what happens if one of these teens gets out of it? What kind of rehabilitation services are there? Across the U.S., there are a total of 50 beds available to transition them from trafficking back into regular life. 100,000, and we can only handle 50 of them if they are able to get out of it. She said that was enough. She gave up the life that we could only dream of and decided to start a nonprofit called Hope Refuge. And this nonprofit put together 24 beds to help. So the number went from 50, now close to 75. It didn't close the gap, but it got us one step closer. As I reflect on Sally Cook and this decision she made and this ministry that she does, what possesses someone to make a decision like that? More importantly for us, if you were given the opportunity to make a difference in this world, would you do it? If God came to you and told you to do something, what would your answer be? Our gospel reading for this morning confronts us with these questions. It begins with a transition, letting us know that Jesus began his ministry in Capernaum, and then this message that Jesus preaches. You may remember it as repent, for the kingdom of God is near. In the Common English Bible, it says, change your hearts and your lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven. I could spend some time preaching on that verse alone, but I want to focus on what comes next. As Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because, well, that's what fishermen do, and they're fishermen. Come, follow me, he said, and I'll show you how to fish for people. And right away, they left their nets and followed him. Does that seem unusual to you? If you were working one day and you get a call from your secretary saying, there's a Mr. Jesus here to see you, and he walks into your office and says, hey, follow me. Do you give up everything and just go and follow? It reminds me of an opening scene from The Hobbit. I'm looking for someone to go on an adventure with me. And what's the reason Bilbo can't go? He'll be late for dinner. If Jesus calls you, do you think you might miss dinner that night? Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. So we have four people whom Jesus called, and they immediately followed. And what's special about them? Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They're fishermen. We'll come back to that. Here's the thing. If you research Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John before this point in history, you will find out that they are some of the most ordinary people in the world. There is absolutely nothing remarkable about them, but as Sherilyn said, what makes them special is when Jesus called them, they followed. They said yes. There's a book called Love Does by Bob Goff. AJ, can you put that slide up? Don't look at the quote yet. I just want you to see the book title. There's a story that I came across this week that I want to share with you. I don't know if you guys know, Pastor Claire and I are in the midst of a prank war. She's taken a set of pictures and put them in my office. Then those pictures ended up in her office. And then on Christmas Day, I opened my front door and there was a wrapped present, which was one of those pictures at my doorstep. So I need to find something to get her back with. Bob Goff tells this story about his friend Doug, who was celebrating his 10th wedding anniversary. And so he prepaid for this presidential suite at the nicest hotel in town. And he heard that they're gonna go there at 8 o'clock. So at 5 o'clock, Bob and his wife show up at the hotel. It's prepaid, so they get the keys and they go up and they go into the room and oh, it's a beautiful room. And they look around at the views and oh, it's just gorgeous. I wonder what room service is like in this room. So they order an appetizer, they order a lobster dinner, and he can't remember what kind of dessert he had except that there was a waiter there who lit it on fire before they ate it. After they had dinner, they cleaned up the room and then they left, and then Doug and his wife came to celebrate, and then the next morning as they were leaving the hotel, they got this bill for a $400 lobster dinner. It's a neat prank. I wonder if I could somehow get Pastor Claire to do something like that. Anyways, in response to that prank, Bob said, well, I owe him. I made him pay $400 for my lobster dinner, so when he tries to get me, I'm gonna just say yes. Whatever he asks for, whatever it is, I'm just gonna go along with it. So one day he's sitting at home in bed and he gets a phone call. He doesn't recognize the number, but he answers it anyway. And on the other end is a man whose voice has a thick African accent. And the person introduces himself as an ambassador from Uganda. And they've tracked Bob and seen all the work he's done with children in jails in Uganda and said, the president of Uganda would like to offer you to be the council of the Republic of Uganda. And so Bob puts the phone down and he looks at his wife and he says, I think it's Doug. He's trying to get me. I'm just gonna say yes. Oh, sure, that sounds wonderful, let's do it. Person says, great, I'm gonna call you again in about 2 months. 2 months go by and Bob probably forgot about it, but then he gets a phone call and that same voice with that thick African accent is on there and says, if you're still on board, I need you to come to New York and meet me in the lobby of this hotel and we're gonna make this happen. And he says, oh, wonderful, I will see you there. So he hangs up and he's like, man, I got $400 lobster dinner out of Doug. He's getting a plane ticket and all this stuff out of me. Well, I'm just gonna go along with it because I owe him. So he goes to the hotel lobby and these two black cars pull up and on the headlights of these two cars are little Ugandan flags. And out of this car comes a man who's very well dressed and an entourage with him. And he comes and he says, hey, I'm Ambassador so-and-so and I talked to you on the phone. I'm so glad you're here. And Bob's sitting there thinking to himself, man, this guy went all out for this. The guy says, well, why don't you fill out this paperwork and then, you know, we'll continue down this process. So he fills out the paperwork. When he went home, there were people from the State Department with credentials that looked awfully real who said they needed to interview him. The next thing he knew, he had diplomatic plates shipped to him. He was interviewed by the State Department and he was now the ambassador to Uganda. He realized it wasn't Doug playing a trick on him. In thinking about that, Bob Goff says, I think God sometimes uses the completely inexplicable events in our lives to point us toward God. We get to decide each time whether we lean in toward what is unfolding and say yes, or we get to back away. There was nothing remarkable about the disciples that Jesus had called, only that when Jesus called, they said yes. What made Sally Cook leave the life that we all would dream of? When Jesus called, she said yes. And there are times where God calls us to do something. And it might not look like Gandalf the Grey randomly appearing, asking us to go on an adventure. For me, it's a little different. For me, I'll see someone sitting alone by themselves or standing by themselves. And God will speak to me through that little voice that says, you need to go and say hi to that person. But I argue with that little voice inside of me and I say, I can't go talk to that person. I'm gonna say hi, they're gonna say hi back. And then 30 minutes later, the conversation's gonna conclude. And you know how much stuff I have to get done. I can't go say hi to that person. Or sometimes it's when somebody comes and says, hey, do you have any spare change? And I say, I'm a millennial, I don't carry cash with me. If I'm gonna give you some money, I have to go all the way to the bank, go to the ATM, hope there's money in my account, and then get some money and come all the way back. You know what, I'm not gonna do all that. Maybe for some of us, it's when God says, you need to watch the Pro Bowl. Or when God invites us to go to seminary. Sometimes when God calls us, we say no. And when we look at the world around us, we realize enough people have said no enough times because the world is not the way it's supposed to be. But today is different. Today we're given a gift of bold action. You don't have to say no. You can say a word that starts with Y and ends with S and sounds like, well done. 9 o'clock wasn't sure about that one. Today you have a gift. You have the ability to say yes. Bob Goff, when asking himself, am I the right guy for what God is calling me to do? All right, AJ, now. Says, I don't know, but I'm the one being asked. And the last thing I want to do is miss out on an adventure or make God mad. So I just keep saying yes. Maybe God is doing something inexplicable in your life. Each of us gets to decide every time whether to lean in or step back, whether to say yes or ignore it and tell God you got the wrong person. Here's the thing. I can guarantee you God is going to speak to you this week. God is going to speak to you this week. And you have the opportunity to say yes. Here's what it might look like. You'll be walking through your living room and you see the coffee table and there's a Bible which has a little bit of dust on it. And God, through that little voice, is going to say, you should probably read that. Just say yes. After church today, when you're at lunch or maybe just before dinner, God's going to put someone on your mind, someone you haven't seen in a while. And that little voice inside of you is going to say, you should call that person and check in on them. Just say yes. A week from today, you'll be preparing for that big game and the party that you're going to have. And you'll look at the clock and you'll say, oh man, church is going to start soon. And that little voice inside of you is going to say, you better go to church. Just. Well, that one wasn't sure. I'm not going to go on till I get confidence out of it. Just say
yes.
In a couple of months, you'll be invited to join a life group, to be a part of a smaller community in this church, to be fully known by a group of people and to fully know them, and your life will be changed. And when you receive this invitation, just say
yes.
And when the nominating committee, no, they're not coming today, it's okay. In case you forget it, the thing you need to walk away with today is just 2,000 years ago, Jesus called some of the most unremarkable people that ever existed, and the world was changed. As I look around this room, do you know what I see? Some fairly remarkable people. And imagine what would happen if we just said, I'm going to end the sermon now. I want you to remember this because it's going to come up later in the service. Just say
yes.
Please join me in prayer. God, thank you for the gift of this scripture. Thank you for the example of Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who for some reason said yes to you. As you approach us this week, may we remember and be encouraged to just say yes. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.